John chapter 16. Can you say that today? What a Savior. Are you able to call Him Savior? And if you can, boy, what a Savior. What He saved me from, what He saved me out of. What a Savior. What a Savior. We don't even realize what that means, really. You know, until the day that we stand before Jesus, we can't really truly imagine what that even means. Of the actual sacrifice that He went through to leave heaven, first of all, to take on flesh of a man and come down here to this earth, this world that we live in, this sinful world, to go to the most cruel death of all time, the cross of Calvary. What a Savior. What a Savior. Yeah. All right, John chapter 16. I'm going to talk about something tonight that I don't think really gets preached on much. The Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you just a reminder of who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and we're just going to give it a basic, hey, this is the Holy Spirit. And I think that our lives are weak because we don't ever seek the Holy Spirit. Our lives are not filled with the power of God because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And a lot of times I think that maybe that's because we don't really understand the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of false churches around that have a very false idea of who the Holy Spirit is and what He is. He's not some lose yourself control and start speaking in gibberish. That's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible. It's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible at all. But let's get into this here. We're going to start here in John chapter 16, there in verse 1. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me again, you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and Lord, I come to you again in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I do pray for the filling of your Spirit now. I pray, Lord, as we look at the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and why we need him, and why we need to seek him, Lord. I pray that you'll give me clarity of thoughts. I pray you'll clear my mind and help me to speak clearly here on this topic here tonight. And we'll give you all the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to share with you a basic truth, right? How to live the victorious Christian life. Until we come to these truths and acknowledge these truths, we're going to struggle at times to live victorious in our Christian lives. You see, the church is not perfect. I hate to bust your bubble and all, but the church is not perfect. It's made up of sinners. It's been said that the church is a hospital for the sin sick. The church is not perfect. It's made up of sinners. It's made up of people, and guess what? People have problems. Right? I've talked with people and said, "I don't go to church because of the hypocrites." Now, these same people have no problems going to Walmart. Walmart's full of hypocrites. These same people have no problem going to the ball games. Right? The Georgia Stadium was packed full of people that are hypocrites. Right? They have no issues about that, but it's something about the church that people don't want to go to because it's made up of hypocrites. But now the solution to these problems is found in a person, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force. It's not some gibberish thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. Just as Jesus, the Son of God, is God. God the Father is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. In 1 John 5:7, it says, "For there are three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." These three are one. Say, how can that be? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. One God manifested in three distinct persons. One. But you say, how can that be? How is that possible? Here's how it's possible, because God said so. Because God said, right? We're not going to understand everything. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We're not going to necessarily understand everything in the Bible, but what He tells us, we have to believe it, and we just have to trust Him. We just got to take God at His Word. And unfortunately, today, there's not much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people that just do not understand who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and why we need Him. And there's a good book by R.A. Torrey, The Power of the Holy Spirit, to read if you've never read that. Very few messages preached on the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, I cannot do anything. I cannot stand up here and preach. The Sunday school teachers cannot teach Sunday school in the power of God. Now, you can get up in the flesh, but we're looking for the power of God. We're looking for the works of God. We're looking for His will to be done, and I can't do that in my flesh. I need the Spirit. I need Him. Nothing we do in this life we can do to the full extent of the Lord if we don't have the Spirit. You cannot go out and lead somebody to the Lord without Christ, without the Holy Spirit being present. He is very, very important. Right? The Scripture proclaims His importance. The Holy Spirit took part in creation. He was there in Genesis 1:2. It says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." He was there in creation. The Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. In 2 Peter 1:21, it says, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." It is amazing when you start looking at the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life on this earth, His incarnation, His earthly ministry, even His birth. Deals with the Holy Spirit. The angel told Mary in Luke 1:35, says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You see, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. Right? Joseph is not God's, is not Jesus' father. It's not. Right, and so many people get that confused, and they're messed up in that as well. But the Holy Spirit of God is the Father. God is the Father. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as well at His baptism, and He empowered Him for His service, for His earthly mission there, His earthly ministry. Before that, there was never a miracle. There was never a saved soul by the direct ministry of Jesus until He was endued with power from the Holy Spirit. You got to get that. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art My beloved Son. In Thee I am well pleased." Hey, the Holy Spirit is involved. You go through the Scriptures, He's there. In the Scriptures, He's there from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Holy Spirit is there when Jesus was raised from the dead. In Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." You wonder how the rapture is going to happen one day, When those dead bodies in Christ come out of the grave, that's exactly how. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And you know what's even more amazing? Is that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, indwells every believer. Every believer at that moment of salvation, that moment you get born again, that moment you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells you from that moment on. And then He starts making changes. He starts changing us and molding us into the image of the Son of God. He made us a new creature. Made me a new creature. But it also says there, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not His. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not His, according to the Bible. The Holy Spirit is so vital. He is so vital, and yet so many times we fail to realize His presence as we go throughout the day. Now remember, Holy Spirit has indwelled us at the moment of salvation. He goes everywhere we go. We take Him everywhere we go. He goes with us everywhere we go. Everything we do, He's there with us. Everything that we see, He's there with us. The internet, the TV shows, the movies, He's there. Everything that we say, those funny jokes, right? He's there. He listens. And every time He sees these things and hears these things, we're grieving and grieving and grieving that Holy Spirit of God and making Him less and less powerful in our lives. We got to get it. He is our power. We are not powerful. He is our power. And too many times, because I'm made of flesh and pride, I think I can manage on my own. I think I can do my own thing. I think I'm strong enough. And that when we do that, we neglect His power. We leave Him by the wayside. We limit Him. We restrict His power. We restrict Him. And in doing so, we make our lives ineffective. We reduce the effectiveness in our life, and that reduces the power in our life, and we are left powerless. Powerless. So what I'm saying is this. We have no power because we neglect the power. We have no power because we left them by the wayside. We neglect the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's many ways that can happen. I think one of the ways there is by grieving the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned a minute ago, we're too much filled with the world and not filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody used to use this quote a lot. He would say, and before we could even ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us, we need to ask that the Holy Spirit would empty us, right? Turn us over and empty us of all the garbage. Everything that we've seen, everything that we've thought, everything that we've done, said, all those things that are not in accordance with the Lord and walking with the world, we need to get those out so that way the Holy Spirit can fill us. He can give us His power, but when we're too filled with everything else, it's not going to happen. So today, I'm just going to give you a few things that the Holy Spirit does for us so that we can reclaim His power. So that we can leave here with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing He does, He convicts us. He convicts us there. Look at John chapter 16, starting in verse 7 there. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Jesus says a surprising thing here. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. It's better for you if I'm not here. It's better for you if I go away. How can that be? How can that be, you ask? It's good for me to leave, Jesus says. Well, if He had not left, the Holy Spirit would not have come. When Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit was not going to be here. And so since Jesus departed and He left and He went to be with the Father, we now have an intercessor for us. Before the very throne of God, Jesus Christ is there, sitting with the Father at the very throne of God, interceding for us, praying for us. We have a person, Jesus Christ, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities because He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is our help. He is our help there with the Father. Jesus is our great high priest, and He is sitting on the very throne of God. And He left, and that allowed the Holy Spirit to come. And we have the presence now all the time on this earth with the Holy Spirit because He has indwelled us. When Jesus was here on this earth, He couldn't be in all places at once. He could only be at one place. But now we have the Holy Spirit with us. Each individual believer has the Holy Spirit living within him, the power of God, and it doesn't matter where you're at. You can be in Macon, Georgia. You can be in Indiana. You can be in Korea. You can be in Germany. It doesn't matter where you're at. You have the same Holy Spirit abiding in you. And we read here that the Holy Spirit does some things. He convicts us. He convicts us here. And the word He used here is reproves. He reproves the world. And that word reprove, it means to convict and to convince. So He convicts us of sin and convinces us of our sin as well. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, that we are sinful people, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He convinces us that the world, in this world, we have a lack of righteousness. Not only have we sinned and come short of the glory of God, but our righteousness is filthy rags. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. There is nothing good that I can get to heaven. There is nothing good in my own self that would allow me to stand before the Lord in my own flesh. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us that we're a sinner. He convicts us of righteousness that we have none. And He convicts us that we're sinners, come short of the glory of God, and that we lack righteousness. We need His righteousness. In order to get to heaven, we must be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord. And He also convicts us of the judgment to come. Of judgment to come. Sin, of righteousness, and a judgment. There is a judgment coming. He has convicted us, convinced us that not only am I going to die, but there is a judgment coming. The Bible says, "And as it has appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." There's coming a day we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to give an account of our lives. We are going to be judged. And the Holy Spirit does this. He convicts us. But He also guides us. He guides us. Look there at verse 13 in John chapter 16. He guides us. "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He's co-equal with God the Father, co-equal with God the Son. He is a separate person, but they are one. They are one. And they are submissive in all of their duties. The Holy Spirit convicts us, but He also guides us. He guides us in what? The truth. What truth? Not the world's truth. This truth right here. He guides us in God's Word. These truths. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. His Word is truth. He speaks the truth. Jesus tells them, says here that He had many things to say, but they were not able to bear them yet. They couldn't understand them. Right? And so Jesus brings about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches these truths, leads us in His will. In 1 John 4:6, the Bible says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Hey, when the Holy Spirit indwells a person, we get that spirit of truth, guiding us in His Word. The Holy Spirit was sent in Jesus' name to proclaim Jesus alone. He wasn't sent to proclaim a movement. He wasn't sent to proclaim a message. He was sent to proclaim Jesus Christ, and that's it. The Bible says, look there at verse 14. It says, "He shall glorify me, For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is, we could say this, he is a shy one. Okay, he's a shy one. He's not going to take the glory. He's not going to take the fame. He is going to push everything and push everybody and direct everybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is never going to glorify himself. Never. He's not going to do it. He does not work independently of Jesus and the Father. He speaks what is given by the Father, by Jesus, and that is the truth. He speaks only the truth. And I got to tell you, you got to be careful about churches. I've seen different churches, they say, the Holy Ghost Church. That's a false church. Holy Ghost doesn't glorify himself. The Holy Ghost Church, the Holy Spirit Church, this and that, that's a false church because the Holy Spirit does not lift himself up above the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what those churches are doing. He says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Remember, he's the shy one. And number three, he indwells us. I mentioned that already, but turn over to John chapter 14. Page back there, John 14, look at verse 16. So he convicts us, he guides us, he indwells us here in verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now that word comforter, it means to come alongside. It means one that's called to stand alongside of another, one called to take his place and help him in every situation. So we have a comforter, one who comes alongside us to help us, to guide us, to speak truth to us, to convict us, and to show us truth, to show us what's right. That is the word comforter there. And the Holy Spirit is represented as another comforter who has come to take the place of Jesus Christ here on earth. He comes, he comforts, he helps all born-again believers. You see, up until this time, Jesus was always with his disciples. Everywhere his disciples went, Jesus went with them. And any trouble that came, like the storm, hey, Jesus was there to calm the storm. Anytime they were hungry, Jesus was there to feed them. Right? Whatever happened, Jesus was always there to help them out of trouble. Every crisis that came, Jesus was there. But now it was time for Jesus to go to the Father. Now it was time for him to go back to heaven. And they were sad. They were sad. They were scared. They didn't really understand everything that Jesus was telling him. And Jesus tells them, although I'm leaving, hey guys, I'm leaving, I'm going to the Father, there is another comforter that's coming. There is another that's coming that's going to come alongside of you, but not just you, everybody. And wherever you go, they're going to be with you, indwell you, and comfort you. That's a great promise, isn't it? That is a glorious promise, and that promise comes from the Word of God. Comes from the Word of God. Until the day that Jesus comes again, until that day that I take my last breath, I have another person just as divine as Jesus, just as loving as Jesus, who's always going to be by my side. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what storm we go through. It doesn't matter what trial I'm going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. Jesus, the Comforter, is there. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is there to guide you into all truth. He wants to commune with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to worship with you. He wants to just be with you. Don't grieve Him. You see, the Father who gave the Son, and it is the Father who gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And that's how we can live a victorious life, by knowing these things, being aware of these things. And in Romans 8, 9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So see, here we have the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells you. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. You're not saved, you're not born again. He tells us at the very moment of salvation, that Holy Spirit is there. So here's the thing. At that moment, we have all the Holy Spirit will ever need. Think about it. At the moment we were saved, the Holy Spirit came in and dwelled us. We have all of the Holy Spirit we will ever need in this life. But here's the problem. Does he have us? You're exactly right. Does he have us? How much of us does he have? How much of us do we give him? We have all of him that we'll ever need, but does he have all of us? That's why we've been looking at prayer on Wednesday night, looking at James chapter 5 and verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? It's not just getting our prayers answered, right, where we're talking about being a righteous man, but it's also being filled with the Spirit, having power in life, walking, living that victorious life. We got to have that Spirit. And we can't walk contrary to Him. We need Him. He's already indwelled us. We need Him to fill us. Fill us. Let me give you another one here. He teaches us. He teaches us. Turn over there. We're John 14. Look at verse 26. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus is one Comforter, and His Holy Spirit is another Comforter. He is an Advocate, one that's come alongside us to help us. The Holy Spirit is a person. Remember that. He is a distinct person. He is not a force. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, but He is also a teacher. He's also a teacher, and He teaches us. Well, what does He teach us? Again, He teaches us all things. All things which Jesus taught. All things here means all things in the Scripture. Everything Jesus taught. Everything Jesus taught about the Comforter. Everything Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus taught about the sin of righteousness and of judgment. Everything about salvation. Everything. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. And every born-again believer has the author of Scripture living in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, indwelling in you, and that Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He wants to teach you how to read the Bible. People say, "I don't understand the Bible." Well, one of two things. If you don't understand the Bible, number one, you don't read the Bible. Or number two, you're not saved. It's one of those two things. Because if you read it and you're saved, you're going to have the Holy Spirit in you. And He's going to teach you. You're going to understand. You're not going to understand everything, right? There's things but what He's telling us, we got to understand it. We might have to study it, right? Might have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Might have to study some of it, but overall, He's going to teach us. He's going to give us enough understanding to get saved. He's going to give us enough of that understanding to know, hey, I'm a sinner, condemned to die in hell, and I don't want to go there, but Jesus paid it all. He's going to give us enough of that understanding to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to get saved, and at that moment, that Holy Spirit comes in us, and He begins to teach us. Now, I remember when I got out of the Air Force in 2018, and we moved to Alabama, and I started going to the Bible college there, and I really had no Bible knowledge. I really didn't have anything. And so I got saved in 2014, and we weren't in good churches. And it was until, 2015, 16, when we went to Korea, that we actually got into a good church, Independent Baptist Church. The Holy Spirit started working in my life, and I knew I was getting out, and then we got out of the military, moved to Alabama. And I mean, I just got enrolled into the college, and they had a teen night there with the teens, and they were doing a Bible quiz, teens against parents. And I remember it was my turn. And it was the easiest question. And I remember sitting there, that question was asked, and I remember this, I'm like, this is an easy question, and I didn't know it. And I'm still like ashamed that I didn't know that answer to that question today. But I didn't have enough Bible knowledge then, how did I get it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightened me. He opened my eyes. He taught me how? By reading it. I had to read it. Had to study it. Had to go to church. Had to listen to the preaching, you know, but the Holy Spirit used that in my life to teach me and to grow me. You see, the best teacher there is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the best teacher. Every time we open our Bible, we need to ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me. I remember when I first got saved, we weren't in good churches. We weren't in good church. And I remember going to church that next Sunday, and I just remember sitting there looking around, and I'm like, this can't be right. I'm like, this can't be right. Everybody that I see is doing the same things that I was doing before. Right? They're doing the same things. We go to the same places. And I'm like, this can't be right. And so my prayer was this. I just prayed this, and I didn't know anything. I said, Lord, show me truth. Just show me truth, because I don't know. And so the Lord and the Holy Spirit just started working in our lives. And that's how we ended up in Korea shortly after that, at an independent Baptist church. Bible believing, Bible preaching. Didn't even know what independent Baptist church was or that there even were. All I knew was that there was rock band churches. That's all I knew. Where they didn't preach the Bible and they didn't give the gospel message. It was all about, oh, everybody's covered under grace. Everybody's good. That's all I knew. But when you get into the Bible and you hear Bible preaching, God's Word's different. God's Word's different than a lot of places that I've been. But anyways, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. We got to get under His teacher. All right, next one here. I want you to see that He adopts us. In Romans chapter 8, turn over to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 15. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, I want you to see here that the Holy Spirit adopts us. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, the Holy Spirit delivers us from fear. He delivers us from the spirit of bondage. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. But the Holy Spirit has delivered us from that bondage, of fear, of the bondage of knowing a sinner going to die and go to hell. He has delivered us from that. And you say, how does He do that? By adoption. He's adopted us into God's family. You see, we're born into this world flesh. Jesus says we've got to be born again. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You see, we're born into this world sinful flesh. The devil is our father. We need a new father. We need to be adopted. The Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. We've got to be adopted into God's family, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And that's how you get born again. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we have the Spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into Jesus' family, into God's family. And because of that, we have access to God at all times. He has adopted us into His family. And so we have all the perks, if you will. All the perks, privileges of sonship, of being able to come to the Father anytime, any place. We don't got to go to some man hiding behind a curtain and confess our sins to a man. No. We go straight to the throne of grace, straight to the Father. In Galatians 4:6, the Bible says, And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hey, no matter what is going on in life, this world around us falls apart. If November we have a new president, things fall apart, doesn't matter, really. God's in control. God is in control. We can cry out, Abba, Father. We can enter into the presence of a holy, righteous God. And that word, Abba, Father, it's a term of endearment. It basically means daddy. Right? It's like when my kids were little, they say, Daddy. They'd call me Daddy. Right? Daddy. It means daddy. He adopted us into His family. God is our Father. Let me give you another one here. I want you to see that He assures us. Look there at verse 16 in Romans 8. He assures us. It says, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He assures us. The Holy Spirit of God assures us that we are born again. Assures us that we are children of God by bearing witness with our spirit. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, the Bible says, Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's kind of like this. He assures us. Who assures us? The Holy Spirit. Not some man, not a preacher, not a teacher, the Holy Spirit. So when I lead somebody to the Lord, I do not tell them they are saved. I do not say, hey, okay, now you are saved, because I cannot give that assurance. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I don't know their hearts. Jesus knows their heart. I cannot say because you said a prayer that you're saved. Saying a prayer does not save you. Only God knows their heart. And salvation is not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me thing. If you want to know what someone believes, ask them. Ask them what they believe. And so when I lead someone to the Lord, they are the ones that have to pray. I will not pray for them. They have to pray. They have to ask the Lord to save them. I can't do it for them. And if you want to know what somebody believes, just ask them to pray. Ask them. I've had people that prayed, and they prayed great prayers. They said, Lord, save me. Amen. I've had some that said everything but, Lord, save me. Okay, all right, we got to go back. We got to talk some more. Right? Maybe you're not ready to be saved. All right, but we got to go back in and make sure. But I cannot give them that assurance. That's all that I'm trying to say here. We can explain to them how to be saved. We can lead them to the Lord. We can point them to the Lord. Show them all the promises in the Bible. But it's the Spirit's job to give the assurance. And He does it by His Word. The Word of God. Again, not the Word of me, not the Word of mom and dad or Sunday school teacher. And this is also why if somebody makes a profession of faith, you know they've made a profession of faith and they come to you again, treat it like they never made that profession of faith. If the Holy Spirit of God has convicted that person, they need to be saved, go through it all again. Go through it all again, lead them to the Lord if that so be the case. But don't be like, hey, I thought you, remember you got saved? Right? We don't know their heart. We don't know what they truly believed in at that time. We don't know if they were just trying to please me or what they were doing. But my point, all I'm saying is the Holy Spirit assures us. In 1 John 5:10, the Bible says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And the record is the Word. The record is the Holy Spirit assuring us, bearing witness with us, the record of His Word that we've been born again. Let me give you another one here. He prays for us. The Holy Spirit of God prays for us. There in Romans 8, look at verse 26 and 7. 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hey, have you ever been praying and you maybe didn't know a person's name per se, or you didn't know exactly how to pray for somebody? You knew you had to pray for them, but you just maybe forgot a name or you forgot a specific. And a lot of times, continue to pray. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit knows the need. The Holy Spirit knows what we wanted to pray for. Our minds are weak. Sometimes we forget. And so sometimes, don't quit praying. Keep praying, because the Holy Spirit is going to help with our infirmities. He is going to pray, and it's always going to be according to His will. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is going to pray for us. And I'll give you one more here. He seals us. S-E-A-L-S. The Holy Spirit of God seals us. Seals us. That's a great promise. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, the Holy Spirit of God seals us. So we've got a couple things going on in this verse here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So first thing, grieving the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about that, but we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He sealed us. That word grieve, it means to pain. It means to offend. It means to vex. It means to sadden. To make Him sad. If you've had kids, have your kids ever saddened us? when they don't obey us as parents, saddens us, it pains us, it grieves us. So when a Christian, when we live contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it grieves Him as well. And we don't want to grieve Him because, why? Because He has sealed us to the day of redemption. A true born-again person can never lose their salvation. You get that? A true born-again, one who's truly been born again, been saved, can never lose your salvation. Now, there's all kinds of churches out there that teach you can lose your salvation. And I can go through the Bible and give you a whole bunch of verses that say otherwise. And this is one of them. The Bible says, ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13 says this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, he says this, he says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise. That Holy Spirit sealed you. It's a promise. You're not getting out. You can't give it away. You can't have it taken from you. Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse 27, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And He says, I and my Father are one. So you're sealed in His hand. And then the Holy Spirit of God seals you amongst all that. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Three in one. We don't understand it all. But He says, you're sealed until the day of redemption. Let me tell you this. If there's something that you can do, something a person can do to lose your salvation, that means that you've had to do something to get your salvation. And that means it's not, you're not saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's all in what He did. It's all in what He did. So let me tell you this here as we close. The Holy Spirit, He is power. He is the power that's missing in our life. The power that's missing today in today's churches, as compared to the great revivals in the old days, the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it was D.L. Moody. It was one of those preachers. They would not get up into the pulpit until they knew they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray when I get up here that the Holy Spirit of God would fill me, because it's not my power, it's not my words, it's not me, it's not anything. It's all Him, and He has to do it and direct and lead. And so I pray for His power. That's what I want, His power, not mine. But we should not do anything in this life without seeking His power, whatever it is. Whatever God has called you to do in this life, whatever you are doing with the rest of your life, whatever it is, we shouldn't do it without seeking the power of God in our lives. So the Holy Spirit of God, there's a lot more to it. But we saw here today that He convicts us. He guides us. He indwells us at that moment of salvation. He teaches us. He is a great teacher. He is the best teacher. He has adopted us into His family. He assures us that we've been born again. He prays for us. And He knows how to pray. And you know what? Lastly, He sealed us. He sealed us. What a glorious promise. The Holy Spirit. Let's pray.